Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV. Today we're talking to Reason senior editor Radley Balco about the militarization of American law enforcement. Radley, thanks for talking.
Thanks.
Let's talk about the Columbia, Missouri raid, which you wrote about for Reason, went viral and provoked a huge outcry. What happened in Columbia, Missouri?
Well, what happened is the police got a tip from one informant and then, I guess, another one that this guy had a large stash of marijuana in his house. They did what they call a trash pull, and they found a remnants of marijuana.
Okay, that's where they sort through garbage.
Yeah, they sort through the family's garbage, right. The garbage outside the house. And they found a small, I think it was remnants of marijuana in a plastic bag. That was the intelligence for the raid, these tips and then the bag. And they were told it was very high-grade marijuana, which that phrase appears over and over through the warrant. So 8 days later, they conduct the SWAT raid that's depicted in the video. It's a very typical SWAT raid. They come in, they break down the door.
They announce themselves.
They do announce themselves, although I would argue if you were asleep in the house or you were in a room in the back, whether or not they announce would be sort of irrelevant.
Right.
The first thing you would hear is the door coming down and then shots being fired.
And it took place at 8:30?
8:30 at night.
Okay.
So the inside there was the suspect and then also his wife and an 8-year-old boy. They put off 7 rounds aimed at the pit bull. The family had a pit bull and a corgi. One of the shots missed, but one of them ricocheted and struck the corgi as well. They killed the pit bull. And you see, it's an extremely violent, sort of difficult to watch video. The dogs, whining after they shoot it. Before they finish it off, you see the boy sort of being shuffled through the house, past the bodies of the dogs, past the SWAT officers and the guns. And then the guy that they arrest, he's up against the wall, he's in handcuffs, and he finds out that they've shot his dog, and he, just sort of goes ballistic, why'd you kill my dog? Why'd you kill my dog? And he wanted to play with you. And I think it really resonated with a lot of people because, I found when I write about this issue, when you talk about a person, for example, getting shot, people tend to...
It's clear if they had shot the kid, accidents happen, right?
That's right. They suspect, the person probably did something wrong,
right.
But when you talk about the pets getting killed, that tends to get people sort of agitated.
So with this raid, the intelligence, they had informants. Do we know who the informants were?
Now, they never really reveal that except in very, very extreme situations. But they didn't find, they found a misdemeanor amount of pot. In fact,
right.
Marijuana for personal use has been decriminalized in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even find enough pot to give him a citation. They charged him and had to drop the charge later.
You have talked both before you joined Reason at Cato in your excellent study, Overkill, about the paramilitarization of American police, the use of SWAT. SWAT tactics for everyday operations. Give us a quick sketch. What's been going on in terms of the kind of roiding up of American police force?
Well, I think as the politicians have sort of really stepped up the drug war rhetoric, starting, I guess, probably in the early 1980s, the war aspect of that has become very literal. We've seen a federal program where the Pentagon is giving away military equipment to local police departments, and literally millions of pieces of military equipment, everything from, guns and tanks and armored personnel carriers and helicopters to, more mundane things like office equipment, has been transferred from the Pentagon to these local police departments across the country.
Who, realistically, don't even really know how to use it. Not as a knock on their professionalism, but, it's above their pay grade, isn't it?
It really. Well, there's a good example is the Richland County, South Carolina sheriff has a armored personnel carrier that has a 360-degree rotating turret with a belt-fed machine gun that shoots 50-caliber ammunition. This is an urban area. The U.S. military has restrictions on when they use 50 caliber. It'll go through 4 or 5 city blocks before it stops. This is sort of an example of the kind of the insanity, I think, that we're looking at, the way this sort of war imagery has been implemented.
How many kind of militarized raids or SWAT raids get done in a given day in America?
It's about 100, 150 a day, or about 50,000 a year. And it's probably even higher than that because all the trends that sort of got us there, none of those trends have gone away.
Right.
So.
What is the typical target of a SWAT raid or of a paramilitary raid?
Well, and that's the, I mean, I think the really powerful thing about this Missouri video is that this was a very typical raid. This was not a botched raid. This was not, no one was killed. They got the right address. They arrested the guy they were looking for. And they found enough drugs to at least initially charge him. And most of these raids, really, when newspapers have done surveys after a raid has gone wrong, they found that most of these raids result in misdemeanor charges. They don't typically turn up huge amounts of drugs or weapons. Now, a good percentage of them do, but it's not a majority. And I think that's really sort of the lesson to take away from this video is for all the outrage that really generated across the internet. I think it's up to 1.4 million views on YouTube now. This is a very typical raid. I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens all the time, even, right down to the shooting of the dogs.
Who's driving this train wreck? Is it the cops? Is it politicians? Is it the public? Is it the drug dealers?
A lot of the outrage on the internet when this video went viral was directed at the Columbia Police Department and at the individual officers involved in this raid. And as I mentioned, I mean, this raid was very typical and it was very routine. I think a lot of that anger was misplaced. I think the blame here really belongs on the politicians who have implemented these policies, who continue to talk about drugs and the drug war with war imagery. That has an effect both on how, what sort of policies we implemented. It has an effect on the mindset of the police officers who we asked to enforce these laws. All the anger and there are even some death threats directed at the Columbia police officers. Really, this is probably going on in your community also. I mean, there are absurdly small towns with SWAT teams now. And I think the anger really needs to be directed at the politicians who continue to push these policies that result in what you see in that video.
Who shot the video and how did it come to public view?
The video was actually shot by a member of the police department, and the attorney for the family has told me actually that all of the raids for this department are videotaped. They're not all released to the public, and what happened in this case, the family actually initially requested a copy of the video, and they were sent a copy that had the audio removed and had key portions, some of the more sort of emotional parts of the video removed. The newspaper, local newspaper, the Columbia newspaper, then heard from neighbors and heard from the family that this had gone on, that there was a video. They requested a copy and were initially denied, and then they followed up with a sort of formal open records request. And that's when the video was released to them. They posted it on their website, and then I posted it on the Reason site a couple days later, and that's when it went viral.
What are the key things that have to happen for this trend to reverse or to disappear?
Well, I mean, the most obvious solution would be to end the drug war and end the idea that government has, any business protecting us from ourselves. The second would be to rein in SWAT teams so they're only performing in the ways that they were originally designed to perform, which is to respond to an already violent situation, respond to bank robberies and school shootings and terrorist incidents, that kind of thing. The third, I think, is to videotape all of these raids, and I think this serves a number of important functions. One is, it would clear up any misunderstandings or disagreements about what happened during the raid, which would, both implicate officers when they do something wrong, but also indemnify them against false claims and false accusations. The second thing I think videotaping all the raids would do is it would force the police officers to be sort of adopt best standards and practices. They're going to be on their best behavior if they know everything they do during the raid is going to be on tape. And then finally, and this is more of an argument toward the general public to support this idea of videotaping them, but, the reaction to this raid was so powerful because people actually saw what happens during a very typical SWAT raid for a drug offense. And I think that videotaping all of them and making the tapes available to the public would bring a sort of level of transparency to the drug war, and it would really force the public to confront what they're supporting and really sort of see how the drug war is carried out on a day-to-day basis. And I think you would probably see support for reform, at least sort of moving to a less militaristic way of enforcing the drug laws.
All right. Well, Radley, I want to thank you. I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV. We've been talking to Reason's Radley Balco about the paramilitarization of American police.